G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2015. We're previewing round 8 where the Lions have all been set pretty distant this week, mate. There's not too many close games predicted.
No, not at all. 2.5 goals being about the smallest line on the board. So I think this week the focus is going to be totals rather than lines. It's going to be take the favourites all the way home if you're in a tipping comp, I suspect.
I think that'd be the go. It's yeah, when you start talking 5 and 6 goals plus, it's always a bit of a toss up, isn't it?
So, well, it's just too much junk time in the fourth quarter to be building in.
Exactly, but
we kick things off on Friday night at the MCG with Hawthorn and Richmond. Hawks laying about 5.5 goals, total points line low 180s.
Yeah, well, as we alluded to, nothing really to get too excited about the line. I mean, probably the only play at the line would be to for Hawthorn lay the points. It'd be their scoring power the last 3 weeks in particular. I think that, well, the average winning margin the last 3 weeks has been 99 points.
Yeah.
So that's and that's against two of the flag favourites. So
yeah,
that's where they're up to. So that'd be the only play there. I don't think you could take them on, but good bet here going the over. Hawthorn, as we said, have been scoring incredibly heavily. Richmond fancy themselves a top four chance. If they have any chance to win this game of football, they're going to need to try and beat Hawthorn. So I think you've got, and they're going to have to kick over 100 points to do so. Good conditions predicted for the MCG on Friday night. So yeah, expect this one to be quite a high scoring affair.
I very nearly talked myself into the same, but I landed on no bet here. And the one sticking point for me is the last 9 Richmond totals this season have all gone under 175. 4 of the last 5 between these two sides have gone 175 and below. Hawthorn dragged the number up. Richmond dragged the number down.
Yep.
It's my only sticking point. When I first saw the line, my immediate reaction was over.
Mm.
And it only was when I started peeling the Richmond numbers back a little. There's just enough here for me to let this one slide. I've got to lean to the over, but no play.
You cautious cat.
We move to Saturday afternoon and we're down at Cadinia Park for Geelong and Brisbane. The Cats laying a bit under 7 goals, total points line around the 170 mark.
Yeah, well, this one I'm not 100% sold on. I'd like to hear you have a bit of a chat about the trends before we get too deep into it. But I'm leaning towards taking the under here, even though it is a day game. Brisbane have very little scoring power themselves. But they have, their defensive pressure has been pretty good and they've kept their opposition to reasonable totals. I didn't actually have a look at this, but I'd be amazed if one of Brisbane's last 5 games has totaled above 140 points. So be interested to have you have a chat.
Well, there you five straight, they've gone 151 or below.
Okay, there you go. So that's enough for me. I'm gonna play the under.
I got close here again. Brisbane trend the under in the day, as do Geelong, which bucks the overall trend of a slight lean to the over there. As if Brisbane haven't been able to score in ages. The one sticking point for me is the recent head-to-head history. 3 of the last 4 have busted 200, including both games at KP.
There you go.
And both games at KP dusted 220. That's just enough for me to steer out. I'm leaning under.
Yeah,
I don't know where Brisbane get goals from.
Well, if this one breaks 220, Brisbane have won. Geelong have won by 180, and I don't see them doing that either.
Yeah. Lean to the under, but no play for me. Second of the Saturday afternoon games is at the MCG. We've got Collingwood and Melbourne. The Pies laying just under 4 goals. Total points line around that mid-160s mark.
Yeah, I think that the total is probably just about right. Both sides will want to be trying to win this game. But again, whether or not that drags it down into a bit of more of an arm wrestle, I'm not too sure. I initially really liked Melbourne in this game, even just head-to-head. Mm. I thought they're a really good chance to beat Collingwood this week. No Cloak still and no Elliott really limits Collingwood's scoring power, but they did find Darcy Moore last week, kicked 4, but don't expect him to get under the radar this week. I think that's your bob-up, no-one-really-cares second gamer scenario.
Yep.
That's not going to happen again. He's their primary forward target. And Jesse White, he's a spud, so he's not
going to kick four or five against you.
You could play a goalpost on Jesse White and you'd be breaking even, I reckon.
We'd have to have 25 scoring shots to kick four.
That's it. So, look, Melbourne have been pretty ordinary the last month as well. So, I expect this to be a real bludger of a game. Not really a great deal of interest for mine, but given the fact that I've got about seven bets going with mates that Collingwood won't get 10 wins this year, I'm barracking pretty hard for that.
No bet here for me. As you said, I think it will be a bludger of a game. Pies trend a bit to the over. Melbourne trend pretty heavily to the under. Nothing to get excited about in the recent head-to-head history other than Collingwood keep winning them. Pretty easy lay down for me. We move to the twilight game and we're at the SCG for Sydney and Adelaide. Now, this line opened with the Swans about 3.5 goal favourites. They're now into about 2.5 goal favourites. Total points line around the 180 mark.
Yeah, well, I mean, the recent form would suggest that Adelaide are every chance to pinch this game. Mm. They just keep finding key defenders. Mm. You know, they went through, they lost Bock and then Davis and then Talia comes up and now they've found young Lever who looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar. So, kudos to them for building up their backstocks. Their forward half's very impressive. Betts is playing really good. Cameron's scoring heavily. And Walker's a genuine jet there at centre half forward as well. So scoring power for Adelaide's quite good. Sydney have been lacking a little bit of punch lately. Still no Tippett, I would imagine. Franklin may be a chance to come back in this week. So probably leaning towards, actually, probably towards Adelaide at the plus in this game, but yeah, just SCG probably just a little bit too much doubt for me. Anywhere else, and I'd take Adelaide head to head in this game. The way this one's going.
Yeah, I was a bit the same. I couldn't quite get to this one. Had a slight lean to the under on a number of fronts. Sydney pretty strong to the under in twilight games at home, etc. But the three games for the Crows since Camporeale took charge all totaled 200 plus. So
there you go.
I originally looked at this line and thought 180, yep, be diving under that one, and swiftly moved away from that position, and once again, I'm going to have no bet.
And do you think, I mean, not to get too, pull on too many heartstrings, but, I mean, it's commonly documented, or clearly documented, what Phil Walsh's vision was, and how Phil Walsh viewed the game of football, and that football was a game of based around scoring more so than based around defence. You defend so that you can score rather than defend to stop the opposition scoring. Yep. So maybe it's their driving focus at the moment. Let's play footy Phil's way and let's just put a number on the board. That Malcolm Blight style of football. Yep.
They play great footy to watch.
Who cares if they kick 22 as long as we kick 23, which maybe does give you, and I mean, Sydney are a scoring team as well, so maybe that does give you that lean towards the over in Adelaide games, especially for the remainder of this year, because I don't think it's going to be they're not going to do it for a couple of weeks and then just sit on it. They do have that firepower.
I think given that Sydney have battled lately, I suspect they'll dictate the style a little, and given that Longmire very quickly put two behind the ball against West Coast and stuffed up my over bet there.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm reticent to chip in.
So that's a little drive-by fuck you to Horse Longmire as well.
It is. At least the Eagles
Paul Ruse clone. Yep. See you, mate.
We move to the Saturday night games, and the first of those is up at the Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium where the Suns host the West Coast Eagles. Suns getting about 7 goals. Total points line low 180s.
No, I've got no. I think West Coast should win it pretty easy. Gold Coast would just be gutted, I think, at the moment. They'd just be, round 24, a.k.a. week one of the finals can't come quick enough for them. They've got nothing, no business. So, I didn't even really have much of a look at this one. The only thing of note, I guess, for this game is that Will Schofield's now under an injury cloud. So there's every chance that someone like a Jack Darling is going to have to play centre-half back.
Yep.
For West Coast, because they don't have a fit defender above 6 foot tall at the moment. It's unbelievable how they're dropping. So, if anything, if you need a ray of hope, Gold Coast, there it is. But you're knackered. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen to play this game. I'm pretty keen to play the under.
Yeah.
Eagles trend strongly to the under in twilight night games. They trend strongly to the under as favourites on the road.
As we got favourites on the road?
Yep. Yeah, if you go back to the games before Gary Ablett came back, the six games prior to that, the Gold Coast averaged 50 points a game.
Yeah.
And five of the last seven West Coast totals this season have gone 170 and under.
Okay.
I think they just put the clamps on early. I don't know that Gold Coast have a score in them.
Yeah.
With no Ablett.
Yep.
And West Coast just get the 4 points and bugger off. And 180 outdoors at night. Yeah. Is an unders play unless Hawthorne are involved.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know, this one, just Gold Coast just seemed to... It's a bit like the North Melbourne game where they can just pull one out of their arse and, yeah, and pinch a win.
They did have Gaz for that.
Yeah, it's not going to be... they're not going to win by 40 points either, I wouldn't have thought.
So unders for me in that game.
All right.
Second of the Saturday night games, and we're at the Docklands for Carlton and North Melbourne. The Blues getting about six goals. Total points line opened about 180 at the start of the week, now pushing towards the mid-180s.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see who Carlton play this week, given their performance last week. Essentially, they were worse than ordinary. I mean, Hawthorn played well, but they didn't want the footy. Yeah. They just thought they played the game, resigned to the fact they were going to lose and didn't care by how much. So if they come with that sort of attitude, I don't think 36 points is anywhere near enough, but North Melbourne with the tag of favouritism around that Carlton could just about pinch this one as well. So.
These are the games North drop. Mate. We discussed this in the Gold Coast game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should just say, every time we get to these are the games North drop, we should just have a little something sneaky head-to-head on the other side of about $5. We don't need to hit that many of them. We don't need North with an F to turn up too often to make money out of that strategy.
No. Look, I'm not interested in this game, mate. Saturday, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to watch cricket, no footy this week.
Nothing by way of lines here, but I'm keen to play the over. Both sides trend pretty strongly to the over at the Docklands. In night games, bucking the overall trend. Carlton's strong to the over as home underdogs. Last three between these sides, all at the Docklands, all gone 195+. North have scored 110 plus in three of their last five games, and I don't see Carlton stopping them. I think they make it 4 out of 6. And that gives you plenty of scope to get to mid-180s, because Carlton certainly can't turn up and kick 4-11 again.
Yeah, well, look, I did consider the over, but just where Carlton are actually going to contribute is another thing. Mm. And
they've got to have a crack after last week, and fans watched them get pizzled by 23 goals, they've got to have a crack this week and play some attacking footy and actually give someone some hope.
I do. I think if
they went to John Barker as much as anyone else.
Yeah, I think if you're playing the over, though, then the line is definitely in play in that game as well. Like, if we're going to say there's going to be 180-odd points scored, you'd imagine that... North Melbourne are contributing 110, 115 of those.
Yeah.
So it's got to...
Carlton gets close to that line. Yeah, I thought six goals was about right. Mind you, as we said, Carlton could win this, 5 to 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which would be just fine as long as it gets to those type of numbers. That'll work out well.
Moving on.
We move on to the first of the Sunday afternoon games, and we're at the Adelaide Oval for Port Adelaide and St Kilda. Power laying about four goals. Total points line low 180s.
Well, Port Adelaide did a favour for me and covered by half a point last week, so that was nice. That was I haven't had many of those salute for me this year. I was certainly watching it earnestly, and there might have been a few drops spilt while that was all happening. But look, St Kilda continue to battle on. They're getting some quality experience into their young list. Everything on this one feels just about right to me. So I didn't really look too deep in it at first glance. Everything stacked up pretty well. Port Adelaide should win. They should win relatively comfortably, but don't expect it to be outlandish game in any aspect.
Yeah, I'm keen on the over here. Port strong to the over the last couple of seasons. St Kilda really strong to the over when they're underdogs on the road. Recent head-to-heads have gone higher than this number. Three of Port's last five matches have gone 200+. I think on sunny afternoon, the Adelaide Oval, both sides are near enough out of contention for finals. I think they'll play fun footy to watch, and I think they'll rack them up. Yeah. So I'm happy on the over here.
Yeah.
Second of the Sunday afternoon games is at the Docklands. We've got Essendon and the Western Bulldogs. The Bombers getting about three goals. Total points line, high 170s.
Yeah, well, even though they're not probably winning as many games they'd like, Essendon have started to turn a bit of a corner with regard to the type of football they're playing. They're putting, they're not, well, they seem to be finding an avenue to score. Having Hooker up forward seems to actually give them a target that they trust to mark the footy. Joe Danaher's starting to kick a little bit straighter as well, and they seem to have a bit more belief through their system. I expect the Doggies to win this one, though. They're a quality unit, and they'll play finals now. So and if they're going to, if they want to give their fans any hope other than rounding out the numbers in the finals, in which case you might as well finish 10th and get an extra week's holiday, they need to win games like this and win them pretty well. Docklands, I can't imagine that they'll keep the roof open. If the roof's open, then it's
to give it up
somebody. But I'll never bet another Etihad game again. But no, I like the over in this game. I think you're going to have to, it's going to be well battled. Again, it's that mentality. Essendon's just trying to upset the apple cart in this day. They've got no hope to play finals, but the Bulldogs need to. They need to sharpen their skills. So I don't see it really having any sort of lockdown defensive element to it. They're just going to try and open each other up and hopefully put a decent number up there.
Yeah. I led to the over, but couldn't quite get there in the end. The way the Bombers played last week definitely suggested they've opened it up for the rest of the season, but it was only 2 weeks ago. They were pretty stagnant against North for much of the game, and having been bitten by a couple of the Dogs games against St Kilda and Carlton where the scoreboard went roughly nowhere for the 3 or 4 quarters, and I was sitting on the over in both occasions.
I think I've been stung on a few of those.
It's tempting, but I'm not going to play.
So if, I'm not, like, if I was going to not bet games where I've been stung this year, we might as well just pack it up.
lean to the over for me, but no play. And we finish things off with the Sunday Twilight game. So it's Twilight on the Eastern Seaboard, but a 2:40 start over at Subiaco for Fremantle and GWS. Dockers laying a little bit under 5 goals. Total points line low 160s.
Yeah, again, it's GWS pretty disappointing here in Canberra last week. I mean, they hardly scored for 2.5 quarters of football, and that's against Geelong, who aren't going to probably figure in the finals. So, and Fremantle again, they're just trying to find some form. They're not the side everybody thought they were going to be. Even despite the fact they had a good win last week, that was probably more Richmond's keeping them in the game than anything else. So, look, Fremantle will win this game over there pretty easy, you'd imagine. Again, not a great deal to get excited about in any of the lines. It's all relatively conservative, so you just can't trust GWS on the road at this stage of their development to really pull anything out of the hat.
No. The recent head-to-heads and the Freo trends in day matches both suggest the over, but GWS just stopped kicking goals. Interestingly, GWS this season, 7 blot against sides in the bottom six, and 2-7 against everyone else. One of those was Hawthorn. But 4 of their losses by 7 goals or more. They might be periphery of the 8, but they're not actually competing well against other sides around those edges. Geelong found them out last week. If I was going to play this game, I'd actually be with Freo minus, because I'm not convinced that GWS have got any sort of score in them at the moment.
Yeah.
But not keen to lay 5 goals in a game where Freo just need to pick up the 4 points and move.
Well, I'm not even sure how keen they are to play finals, to be honest. I mean, Geelong last week was a winnable game, and they dropped Cam McCarthy, who's their second leading goal scorer this year. He's kicked over 30 goals this year. Like, it's just weird. I'm not following the logic that's happening at GWS at the moment. He wasn't rested, rested for injury or anything like that. He was just dropped.
Yeah.
And if you're making those statements when you've got a winnable game, which gives you a chance to play your first ever final,
it's one of those 8-point games against another side on the edge of the eight.
Do they want to play finals? Yeah. I'm not sure they will. With that sort of logic, there's every chance they might send their twos over there.
Well, that's another problem at this stage without teams, is they might just leave them at home. Anyway. So that leaves me with a total of 3 this week, all totals. So I've got the under in the Suns-Eagles game, over in the Blues-Kangaroos, over in the Power and Saints.
Yeah, well, I finished with 3 as well. I've got the overs in the Hawks-Richmond game, Unders in the Geelong Brizzy game and overs for the Dons Western Bulldogs.
There we go. Good luck and good punting, folks.